I'm always amazed at the tireless work of Chazak. I guess maybe it comes from the name. They get strength, but it's really something special. The scope, the intensity, the consistency, and it's certainly my privilege to be here to share in a small part of this this great organization and its wonderful work. We do live in very difficult times, and on days like today, Shavuos Betamuz, fast days, it's not just about fasting, it's not just about, you know, being very thirsty, especially in the weather like today, but there's a historical message, and it's about getting the message and applying it to our own lives. And unfortunately today, the Golus, which for all intents and purposes, the last level of seeds and detail for that Golus were laid on Shavuos Betamuz, when the walls of Yerushalayim were broken through and so many intrusions in the Beis HaMikdosh had begun. It's really the time to think and reflect about the past 2,000 years that we have been in Golus or close to it. And we think about it. And we see that it's a reality. The Golus is not as pleasant a place to be as we may think it is in our lives. I don't have to detail the difficulties and the challenges that face us. There's so many. Was just mentioned previously about so many of our assimilated brothers and sisters not even getting a shemitz, a taste of a Jewish education, many of them not even realizing that they're Jewish. So much opposition to every step that we make. We have problems now with education in the state of New York. We certainly have major problems in Eretz Yisrael, both in education and in terrorism and literally security of life. And those problems, it seems, are not isolated to Eretz Yisrael. They've spread to Europe, and many people who are in the know say that they're here as well. Maybe not as prominent, and Chmod Litzlan they shouldn't become, but it exists. We're in Golus. We're still in Golus. And no matter how much we try to fool ourselves and pretend and enjoy the benefits of the wonderful life that we have in this Malchus HaChesed, which is true, but we're still in Golus. So many different levels. The moral decadence is first coming out, the extent of which we see in the politics that are going on in this country now. No one would have believed the extent of this decadence which was buried underneath, but which is only presently beginning to be noticed. And therefore, we certainly want to do the maximum that we could do to end this long and bitter Golus. And the way to go about that, the Chofetz Chaim teaches us and others, is to study its causes. And when we study the causes and we attempt to rectify those phenomena, those factors that have brought us to this point, then we're doing something very, very positive and constructive in order to bring about the end of this long and bitter Golus. And therefore I'd like to focus just on a few points which I think are very, very relevant. One, the Pasuk in the Novi Yirmiya and the Gemara in the Dorim expands upon it. It seems that the reason for the Churban was not understood. Al-me'ov toho oretz. Why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Why the Churban Beis HaMikdosh? Why the Golus that ensued? Chachomim were asked. They couldn't fathom it. The Nevi'im were asked. They didn't get it either. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzlo said, Al ozvom es toirosi asher nosati lohem. They have forsaken my Torah. The forsaking of the Torah was the cause, the makeh b'patish, the straw that broke the camel's back, the final blow, to bring about the churban and the exile. And the Gemara continues and says, what does it mean, ozvom es toirosi? And the Gemara says, shaloi berchu b'toiro t'chilo. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. They were learning. There wasn't a complete forsaking of the Torah, but they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. And the Ran explains that what that means is, whether they said or didn't say it, but something was lacking in that chashivus. They didn't appreciate what it means, the privilege of having a Torah. What a privilege it is to be able to study that Torah. What a unique gift it is from Hashem that the blueprint of His creation, the document which entails, which tells us the purpose for our being here and all of our responsibilities and obligations and the way to lead that good life, that they didn't appreciate it enough. There was something lacking. Not that they didn't study, not that they didn't care, but that appreciation. And that appreciation was so subtle that the Chachomim and the Nevi'im couldn't perceive it. When they were asked, Al me'o of the Haaretz, why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? They didn't know the answer. Even the Nevi'im didn't know the answer. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. Because there was something lacking in that sense of appreciation of the greatness of the privilege of the study of Torah. And that's something that really is very, very relevant to all of us. And I believe for the following reason. If the Chachomim and the Nevi'im couldn't understand it, well, it means that they looked around and everything looked great. There's so much learning going on. There's so much. Look what's happening. Everybody's learning. The Torah was supreme. Yes, they did certain other averas, serious averas, which it seems that the Chachomim and the Nevi'im did not perceive that that alone would solidify their end, that wasn't enough, the terrible things that they did, but that could have been forgiven. Chazal say in one place, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Gimel Averas Chamurois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have overlooked the Gimel Averas Chamurois that they performed, but on the Oven Bittul Torah, that he couldn't overlook. And they couldn't find the Bittul Torah. And they walked into a Beis Medrash, they saw it full. They walked to the next Beis Medrash, they saw the same thing. They saw people learning, sitting by their windows and learning by candlelight late into the night. What's the problem? But they couldn't perceive. It was not perceptible. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them. They did so much. But were we lacking in the appreciation? And I want to suggest that that's a very, very vague perception. It's very hard. It's very hard to imagine that we're not machshiv the Torah enough. What do you mean? We do its mitzvahs. We study daily. But is it kihem chayenu ve'oirech yomenu? Do we equate it with life itself? Can we relate to the moshel of Rabbi Akiva when the fox tells him that the moshel of the fish that the fox says to them, you're running away from the fisherman's net, so why don't you come on dry land and live together with me? And they say to this fox, you're supposed to be the wisest of animals. You're a fool. If in the place of our life we cannot live, how can we possibly live on dry land? Do we appreciate that that's our life? That that's what we have? That that's all we have? That that's the most important thing that we have? Is that our number one priority in every decision that we make? How will it affect our connection, our learning, our appreciation of the Torah? Or is it important? Very important. Very significant. We pay top dollar in tuition in order to teach our children. Do they see it in our lives? I'll never forget when my children were young, who used to go, who was very close with him, to the Navardika Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yankov Yafin, Zachrinu Livrocha. And the kids, when they were very young, they would say, you should give him a brocha for learning. And he would turn to me in Yiddish and say, "Der einzige brocha is a dafen zen as the tata learned. The only brocha I could give them for learning, they have to see their father learning." Are we setting the right example? Are we living the right priorities? Are we giving the Torah the chashivus of kihem chayenu ve'oirech yomenu? I don't know, but I do know that at a time like this, when we reflect on the churban and the golus that ensued, and we want to see what are the factors that brought about these last close to 2,000 years of suffering, torment, and torture that we still are suffering from today, as positive as some of the circumstances may still be, then we have to look and see that chashivus ha-Torah. We must have a deeper sense of appreciation of what it means, the Torah, what it means to learn the Torah, what it means to learn the Torah al menas lasos, to keep the mitzvahs. This is truly the essence. And this, Chazal tell us, is the imperceptible factor that the Chachomim and the Nevi'im were not capable of figuring out on their own, because there was so much going on, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the secret himself. There's a very strange Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara says that Reb Yirmiyah and Reb Zeira were studying Torah together. All of a sudden, Reb Zeira jumped up. Reb Yirmiyah jumped up. And the Gemara says it was late to daven. I guess he was late for mincha. He hadn't daven. And Reb Yirmiyah says to him, "Alecha Omar HaKosuv," about you the posuk refers when it says, "Meisir oznoi mishmoy ha-Toyro gam tfilosoi toyevo." One who turns his ears away from hearing Torah, also his tefillah is abominable to Hashem. Terrible posuk. And the Mefarshim explained that when one turns himself away from Torah, that every aspect of his religious persona is going to be affected negatively because he turned his ears away. He turned away from Torah. What did Reb Yirmiyah do? Reb Yirmiyah was late to daven. He was keeping the Torah. He was observing the halacha. So Reb Zeira says to him such a terrible thing. You know, we're in a school building, no? In the school building, there's bells. When there's three types of kids that respond to the school bell. There's the kid who doesn't have a watch, doesn't know what time it is, but something internally tells him to be out of the room before the bell rings. He's out of there. He just, before the bell even rings, he's out. There's the other guy who hears the bell ring, he packs his books, and he leaves the room. And there's the third one, who's so engrossed, so intensely engrossed in his learning, that he doesn't even hear the bell ring. Reb Zeira must have seen in Reb Yirmiyah, on his lofty level, that something was wrong. He jumped up too quickly. He closed the Gemara too quickly. He didn't give a krechts. Oi, I wish I could continue learning, but I have to go daven mincha. And something ever so slight for that great giant, Reb Yirmiyah, was amiss. And Reb Zeira therefore says to him, that breach in your chashivas ha-Torah, you had to get up to daven, but there was some indication that the Torah wasn't as important, as choshev, as critical to your life as it should have been. Some ever so slight indication that deserved, according to the insight of Reb Zeira, this epithet, this hesped, this posuk that says, you're a meisir oznei mishmoy ha-Torah, you're turning your ears away, even the slightest lack in appreciation of that chashivus, is considered a devastating damage to a person in terms of his religious observance, in terms of his religious level. And that's what Reb Zeira said that Reb Yirmiyah had done in his jumping up maybe a little bit too fast. So we see that this sense of importance and appreciation and chashivas haTorah is critical. Why is it so choshev? What does the Torah do for us? Why is limud haTorah so critical? Why should so much emphasis be put on the study of Torah and understanding the Torah and delving to the depths of the Torah? The Torah is infinite. It's the Das Kel Elyon. It's the, so to speak, the autobiography, forgive me, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is him. This is what he's about. This is what his world is all about. This is where he describes his value system. This is where he tells the world that the values today that we're living by are insane. And it's all there. And it's in depth. We have to study it. And that's where it comes from. And without it, there is no moral authority. We can't blame immorality on people who don't know that there's a creation, who don't know that there's a creator. Because if there is no creator and there is no purpose, why not everybody just do whatever he pleases? Oh, it's not nice, it's not right. It's not nice, it's not right to restrict me from doing what I want to do. But there's a Bo'iri Olam. He created the world for a purpose. It's his world. He's in control. He put us here. He sets the value system. And we must study and imbibe and understand to the depths his value system in order to live our lives according to the proper morality. And without that authority, if there is no moral authority, then we live in a jungle. In a jungle, the law of the jungle is, that's it. It's the law of might. Whoever is stronger, whoever speaks louder, whoever yells louder, whoever curses louder, whoever insults louder. No. There's rules and regulations. There's a creator who set the standard. And there's a Torah that tells us what that standard is. And not only does the Torah tell us standards that we could never realize, but it gives us the motivation to abide by those standards, because this is the directive of the Creator himself. This is the purpose for which I exist in the world. This is what human existence and what life is all about. The Torah has many, many different, varied impacts on our life. One interesting impact is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, according to the Rabbeinu Simcha in the Machzor Vitri. The Mishnah says, "Toiv Torah im derech eretz, shi'igias shneyen mashkachas ovoin." It's good to have Torah to learn and to make a living, to have a parnosa, because the effort put into both will cause sin to be forgotten. And the Rabbeinu Simchon HaMachzor Vitri learns that this is referring to learning the laws of gezel, of stealing. That when a person learns the laws of gezel, he learns about stealing. He knows you're not allowed to steal, all the details and the protein, everything else. And he has a shtikl parnosa, so he's not going to come to steal. Because he knows it's wrong, he studied the laws, and he's not so pressed for money because he has a parnosa, he's doing derech eretz, so he'll be okay. But the question on the Rabbeinu Simcha is, the lashon of the Mishnah is mashkachas ovoin. It causes sin to be forgotten. How does it cause sin to be forgotten? I understand. Since I know how bad gezel is, I'm not going to do gezel. So therefore I won't steal. And the Torah says, and I won't be as exceptionally motivated because I don't have a penny to my name, I don't have food to eat, because I have a parnosa. So the parnosa together with the learning, I won't steal. But mashkachas, it causes it to be forgotten. I think herein lies an insight into the power of the Limud HaTorah. Mashkachas over means that because I studied the laws of Gzela, because I know the extent to which the Torah abhors Gzela, because I know how serious an infraction that is, that leads me to the point where it's out of the pale of my reality. Not just I won't do it, I can't do it. It's Faltmanishtein. I don't even think of doing it. It doesn't dawn on me to do it because it's out of my league. Oftentimes when I mention this, I ask the audience, but I always say first, please don't answer. How many people ever considered murdering someone? Please don't answer. It's out of the pale, I hope. It's out of the pale of our reality. We don't think in those terms. Well, Torah makes these values out of the pale of our reality. I can't consider it. It's forgotten. Now, I need the Derech Eretz too, because if I don't have what to eat, I might remember and think a possibility, you know, and have a test, have a nisoyin. But when I have my parnosa, and I know, I learn the halachas take concepts, take morality, take values, and push them in my mind and in my heart and in my psyche beyond the pale of anything that I could ever think of doing. That's the influence, that's the hashpah that the Torah has on a person. And this is why that one who truly lives by the directives of the Torah, and one who truly studies them with the due chashivus that they have, that these are the guidelines of life, that this is what it's all about, that this is the purpose for creation, that this is how I fulfill my purpose in this world. Such a person, then, these values become second nature. He loses even the temptation to violate them because they become so critical and so essential and so deeply a part of his life. I'd like to share with you an insight which takes this a little bit far, even beyond what we would think. The Gemara at the end of Makkos says that there's a pasuk, V'dover emes bilvovoi. He speaks truth in his heart. And the Gemara just says this is talking about Rav Safra. It doesn't say anything about what the story was. Rav Safra is the one who speaks truth in his heart. Rashi explains what the Gemara means. He says Rav Safra was a peddler. And he used to go to the market and he was selling whatever he was selling, his peddling his wares. And one day, he's in the marketplace and he's davening. At the time, he was davening, and somebody offered him a few dollars, $10 for this trinket that he was selling. No answer. The guy thought he was handling, you know, do business. 20, no answer. 30, no answer. 50, no answer. 60, 70, 80, got up to, I don't know, 100. Finally, he finished davening, and he gives it to him for the original price that he asked. Because in his mind, when he heard the $10 offer, he had in his mind intended to give it to him for that. And that, Chazal say, is what the pasuk means, he speaks truth in his heart. Which means to say that had Rav Safra, this is on his great level, we're not on that level necessarily, but on his level, had he not given it for the first price that he thought to give it at that moment, retroactively he would have lied. In his heart, that was the equivalent to a lie. Because I made up my mind to give it to you, and now I'm lying to myself. V'dover emes bilvovoi. That's a concept the world can't understand. We have trouble understanding. But this is what our Torah gives us. Our Torah gives us such in-depth insights into what values life must be lived with that we live on a different plane. That's if we learn, if we observe, and if we appreciate the chashivos haTorah. It's not enough that we learn. We have to realize what a privilege, what a gift. What does it mean? Think about it for a moment. There's 7.5 billion people in this world, and there's a small nation that were invited to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, they were revealed in an incontrovertible way through the talk of the Creator Himself, who identified Himself as the perpetrator of all the miracles that they saw in Egypt. And He said, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the one that did all those miracles that took you out of Egypt. And now I'm telling you why. And I am giving you the true purpose with all the depth of understanding of the purpose of creation. So, Chazal say, Mi Sinai, Yotza Sina Leholam, the hatred in the world that brought about the Churbonos and that brings about so much of our Tzoros and the Golos stems from Sinai. Because Because the privileged, this is the privileged class. These are the most privileged people on the planet. These were privileged to be given the Torah, not only to know it, not only to study it, but to master it and decide its halachas. And the psak halacha that's issued by the Beis Din is honored by the heavens themselves. And if a basko were to come down from heaven and say it's not true, we would say, Haloi kosuf ba Torah, loi ba shomayimi. No, the Torah was given here. And we ain't mashgicha be basko. We don't listen to heavenly voices. Such a gift, such a precious gift, such a unique gift, such a privilege given only to Klal Yisrael. Now, anyone who wishes to join the club is welcome if he sincerely or she sincerely wishes to become a member, a true, full-fledged, full-bred member of that club. But it's an exclusive club. People are jealous of exclusivity and exclusive clubs. But it's so sad. If we don't appreciate the uniqueness of our Torah, and it's doubly sad when the world out there does. Why are they so jealous? Why are they so hateful? Why do they attack us? They appreciate what a privilege it is. Do we appreciate it as much as we should? That's really the question. That's really the message. That's really the lesson. That's what we have to learn on this day. And any time we think and we reflect on the difficulties and the challenges of the Golos, we must realize that Chazal, Torah told us, Gemara tells us that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Pasuk actually, that Hashem tells us, no, there may be something lacking in how much you appreciate the difference, because this Torah is really what it's all about. And therefore I think that if we wish to do something constructive about the golos in which we reside throughout the world, and we find so many of our brothers and sisters suffering, all types of suffering, and all personal tragedies are also a factor of the golos. We didn't have the Urim V'Tumim to go and find lost people. We didn't have the Hashoras Hashchino Neveis HaMikdosh to be able to talk directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're in pain, when we're in suffering, when we're in difficulty, when we have a challenge. Personal challenges are also a factor of the fact that we're still in Golos. And if we wish to mitigate, to soften, and Be'ezer Hashem, hopefully to end this Golos, we have to learn the lessons of its cause. And one of those lessons is the fact that we may not appreciate the Chashivus HaTorah. And I think that if we can take any message, any tachlis out of this message, we should look around. And we should see that as much as if we're not learning enough, we have to make sure we are. And if we are learning, maybe we can do better. You know, and I'll conclude with this. The Gemara says, Yisurim boi nolov yifashvish b'masov. If a person has Yisurim, he's suffering, look at your actions. Pishvish v'loi motzo. He looked inside, he couldn't find anything that was worthy of such suffering. Yitle b'bitl Torah. He should say, oh, it must be bitl Torah. So everybody asked the question. He just looked. He saw he didn't have anything worthy of such suffering. So now if he couldn't find anything, he say, Yitle b'bitl Torah. So the Rashi explains, and the Mashur expands upon it, that because of the Yisurim that he has, and he wants to alleviate those Yisurim, they will bring him to ever higher levels of learning, even beyond where he was before. When he looked first, he didn't see any Bittul Torah. But now he sees new potential because of new motivation. When we recognize any deeper level of recognition of the unique quality, of the unique greatness, of the unique essence, of the unique chashivas of our Torah, that leads us to perform at a higher level. That can take our learning, which may be occasional, to be more regular. That can take our learning, which may be superficial, to be more in depth, and that can give us that sense of appreciation of what it means to be privileged to have received the Torah on Har Sinai, and to know firsthand from the Borei Olam himself the way to lead our lives, the way to fulfill our purpose in creation. And I dare say, if we have the ability to fulfill our purpose in creation, we could all truly be happy, because there's nothing that makes a person happier. There's nothing more validating than a person who realizes, I am fulfilling my purpose of creation. Let's hope and pray that this golos will end very quickly. Let's hope and pray that we'll be able to do our share to make it happen. And let's reflect on the words of the Novi. The Novi Yeshaya says, "Berega koten azavtich uberachamim gedolim akapzeich." It's the Haftar in Parshas Noach. He says, "I've forsaken you for a split moment, and ingathered and with great rachamim, I gather in the exiles." And the Radak asked the question: for a mere moment, the golus is long and bitter. This exile seems to never end. Look, it's close to 2,000 years. And he says, when we will see the ingathering of the exiles, when we will see Hashem's mercy betrayed to the Klal Yisrael in its fullness, then in retrospect, we'll look back at the 2,000 years of suffering and say, wow, we had a rough minute or two over there. It should happen in our lifetime, and should be able to eradicate all of the memories and all of the pain of Jewish suffering throughout the exile.